What up, fam? On this episode of the Snapback Sports Pod, the Rams win the Super Bowl, Cooper Kupp wins Super Bowl MVP, but most importantly, James Harden is a Sixer and Ben Simmons is a Net. I lied. Most actual importantly, it is our boy Eagleson's birthday. Make sure to hit him up. Give him some love.
Snapback fam, new app.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson takes it himself.
Oh, he broke his ankle.
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
Bryant, put the jumper.
He's oh, my! And the Lakers lead!
Mamba out.
What's up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman. Joining me today, and as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, what is on your mind today?
Football has come and gone. So has Andrew Eagleson's 17th year of life. Happy birthday, Eagleson. We'll get to you at the end of the show. Which means it's time to turn our attention to the NBA hardwood. Woo! Baby! Expectations are back. I don't give a shit. I am ready to be hurt. But before we discuss all that, Jack, you've just done a long, I don't even know how long it's been, 2 weeks, Vegas, LA, Cleveland, apartment moving. What's going on with you?
A lot. Pretty much everything is going on with me. I feel bad, first of all, for everyone's ears for that little celebration. But we will get to NBA the second half of the podcast. We are going to properly wrap up the NFL first. Pro Bowl was all right. The game kind of stunk, but the festivities were fun around it. Super Bowl was a whirlwind. It was crazy. I met people that I had no business meeting. I drank more than I should have probably drank. I'll give you a fun little story. Friday night, Justin Bieber killed it. Like, I'm talking killed it.
I've seen Bieber in concert.
Yeah, I was drinking maybe a little too much. So much so that I saw my buddy who's an agent the next day, and I said, what up? I was like, did I see you last night? And I was like, oh, shit, yeah, I remember seeing you. And then the other image in my head that popped in was I was at a table with Josh Allen and George Kittle, but was so out of it.
Which Jaguars Josh Allen?
No.
Superior.
No. Big, tall quarterback Josh Allen. So that goes to show where my head was at the majority of the weekend. Super Bowl in LA is, you know, very crazy because celebrities, there's tiers to it. And even in LA,
where did you fall in those tiers?
I was like F tier. Like, definitely F tier.
I feel like that's for Super Bowl in LA. Calling yourself F tier is like one of the most cocky things. You ever work in Excel, and when you get to the Z column, it goes back to AA?
Yeah.
You're ZZ when it comes to.
Maybe. I did say, I don't know if I said on the air, but I did say for the Drake and Bieber party, which is a 1,500 person party, I was like 1,494. Out of the 1,500. So,
and your manager was 1499?
He was probably 1495. His girlfriend 1496. His yeah. Breaking news on the podcast. Apparently.
Didn't know that, Alex.
His dad was 1497, but probably jumped in the power rankings because as I was going to say hi to him, he was on a table somehow with Jeff Bezos. So if you want to start to understand how LA Super Bowl works, that is probably the best instance. Is you've got people with millions of followers and legit celebs walking around in general admission, because that is how elite some of these freaking parties are. So LA was a trip. The game was, I would describe it as like, let's say we hop on Sunday night after a week 8 NBC Sunday Night Football game, pretty good game, questionable calls, comes down to the wire, and we're like, oh, we can debate this, we move on. If it hadn't been the Super Bowl, but it was, legacies were on the line. So halftime show was incredible. I know people enjoyed it on the TV. In the stadium, it was spectacular. I was on the wrong side, just to give everyone a frame of mind. I was on the backside, but 2 years ago in Miami, I was in the end zone when all 6 touchdowns were scored on the opposite side. This year, Cooper Kupp's game-winning touchdown scored not only on my side, but also my corner So a little redemption there. Super Bowl was a lot of fun. And now it's on to Cleveland for All-Star Weekend.
You going to the game?
Am I going to the game? So I think this is an interesting space to discuss this. Maybe we save it for the back half of the podcast. But a whole little like COVID situation, vaccine booster. We can get into the politics of it all later. Let's Super Bowl recap real quick. Rams win it all. Your boy called his shot from day one. Said the Rams were legit. They got better. Hit that pre.
That's not all you said. That's not all you said from day one.
Yeah. Well, I'm not perfect. Are you?
No, you are. You said from day one the Bengals were cuties.
We did say that. We did say the Bengals were cuties. And they were, because the Rams, as good as they were, as loaded as they were, by the end of the game, when Odell was down, Robert Woods, Higby, Aker was playing like shit, they couldn't block. Like, that was a very beatable team. If I'm a Cincy fan, look, I don't know. You have lost the Super Bowl before. I've never lost the Super Bowl. You were young when you lost. But let's say you're a middle-aged Cincy fan. You're a person who's going to remember this game. Obviously, losing Super Bowl sucks. If you're a Falcons fan, that sucks, right? You blew a lead. But you blew it to Tom Brady, and so there's a little solace in that. If I'm a Cincy fan, I'm sick because they just did not want to win the game. They had, like, 14 different opportunities. Pick up one first down, score one touchdown, score one field goal, get one stop, one turn, and they just like didn't make a play the entire second half.
Especially because if you can say Cincy didn't want to win the game, like they didn't try to, and that's why Cincy fans should be sick. Another reason why Cincy fans should be sick that they didn't win the game is because the Rams didn't try to win the game either.
It was crazy. They were actively trying to lose the game.
3.5 quarters worth of first down runs from Sean McVay when he has 11 carries for about 11 yards the entire game.
Nuts.
And that's, if you want to talk about another reason why Cincy fans should be sick to their stomachs, they'll never be back.
Nope. Not
they'll
even remotely
never be back.
Close.
They will never be back. I'm sorry. You caught lightning in a bottle. It was fun. That video of the kid dancing outside the tailgate was electric. Thank you for that content. But I'm down for Bengals fans to turn on me that listen to this podcast because, one, you don't scare me, and two, I don't give a shit. I know I'm right about this. You have your franchise quarterback. Congrats.
I am hearing from sources, and we'll talk about sources later. No, it's not from sources, but I did see a tweet today. Maybe they're calling him Ryan Tannehill with a nice outfit on. I don't know. That's just what some are saying.
That's not fair. He didn't have a running game to carry him. Like
Joe Mixon threw as many touchdown passes as him in the Super Bowl.
I said running game.
Joe Mixon was actually fantastic in the Super Bowl. He threw 5 touchdown passes in 4 playoff games. I'm just saying, people. That's all.
They extend Zach Taylor today. Like,
oh, my God.
They're riding high on this Super Bowl loss. You got lucky. Your offensive line stinks.
No. All right. I like more when you say the lightning in a bottle. We know you have to have a great amount of luck to do anything. They did play well. Like, I'm not going to deny that.
Did they? Against Tampa? I mean, against Tennessee and Vegas?
They really didn't. But, yeah, I guess their luck is the draw. They're not that good. They just weren't that good.
They were the better team in the playoffs in each of their games for a total of 2 halves.
Yeah.
I would say the first half of the Oakland game and the second half of the Chiefs game. So 2 out of 8 halves that they played in, they were the better team. That's 25%. They have an electric young core of weapons. Higgins, Chase, Mixon, Burrow's good. The offensive line is shit. And now you're in a conference with every quarterback in the NFL. Every single one. I'm sorry, Bengals fans. This is where it ends.
Let's be clear and just have people, instead of me sounding like a hater or even you potentially sounding like a hater, people will call me a hater because I'm a Ravens fan, but when it comes from you, it sounds a little more genuine. It's not that I don't think Burrow is actually really good or that they could.
He's the guy.
He's absolutely the guy. They could spend a lot of money in free agency and get – he's on that rookie deal, windows open, although Stafford winning has opened multitude of windows for other quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson. But it's just not mathematically possible. I know sometimes I lose Abe here, but Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, whoever Pittsburgh drafts, if Aaron Rodgers comes through, if Russell Wilson comes through, it's just not possible. All of these guys cannot go to the Super Bowl every year. So to say, like, if Burrow got back once in his career, that would be a pretty big accomplishment in the AFC.
The biggest accomplishment would be Joe Burrow getting his name in the category of Joe Flacco, Nick Foles, Matt Stafford, and Aaron Rodgers.
It's a tough one. Drew Brees.
That's how you have to crack. You have to crack that elite group of quarterbacks that have one Super Bowl ring. And Joe Burrow will not. Yeah. He just won't. Not in Cincinnati, at least.
Right.
I'll say that.
If you said, is Burrow going to win a ring in the next 5 years on Cincy, yes or no, I think no is like -300.
I would throw $5,000 that I don't have on no. And I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, and this is where I draw the line. Bengals fans saying the refs cost them the game. Do we not remember the T. Higgins touchdown, first play of the second half, blatant OPI, blatant face mask, run it back a million times. It was a missed call. That was the reason you were in the game. So don't cry wolf. There are such things in the NFL. Don't cry ref. There are such things in the NFL as makeup calls, and you just got at the wrong time.
You got in the worst possible
time. But that being said, the missed call on Higgins in the start of the second half was way more egregious than the holding call on against Kupp.
I actually didn't think that it was much of a hold on Kupp. Like, I thought he put two hands on him, so it's like an instant call. But I thought he stuck, which is legal, and I thought he put his hand on. I didn't see a grab. Obviously, against Kupp, they're going to assume that's a mismatch, all that good stuff. But I thought, yes, that was a very tough call. And then Eli Apple gets embarrassed. Look, if you put the game away, it's the same thing I said about the Bills. I don't care about the overtime rule. You go into your shell and allow Mahomes to go 50 yards in 13 seconds, you deserve to lose. You hold a 10-point lead or whatever they were up in the second half, and you play that mishmash football, and you can't block, and you almost tear your quarterback's ACL and MCL again, I don't feel bad for you. So that is my feeling on the refs. Let's talk about the MVP award for the game. Cooper Kupp wins. He was awesome, especially on the final drive, obviously. Am I crazy for saying I thought Matt Stafford deserved to win the award?
Yeah. Yeah, you are. Because as much as he orchestrated that drive and won them the game and went down the field, he was also part of the reason, most of the reason, by making dumb throws that they were in the situation.
That's where I disagreed. The interception debates, his first one, that was effectively an arm punt. It was 3rd and 17 from the 40.
Yeah, but an interception is an interception.
It is. But you also have to recognize, like, all right, if he throws the ball,
I thought you were
going to
say Donald, and I was cool with that.
What, Donald?
I thought you were going to say him, not Stafford.
No, Stafford went 287. Three touchdowns. He lost OBJ during the game. Didn't have Higbee. Didn't have Wood. So he really had to make do. Cooper Kupp went under his receptions and receiving yards props. I mean, how can you be the MVP if you don't even make the people some money? And then the second interception was definitely not his fault. That was just unlucky. The receiver dropped the ball and popped it up in the air. So I have him at like 287 and a half interception with three touchdowns. I thought he should be Super Bowl MVP. Aaron Donald was obviously dominant, made key plays at key times, but I don't think he deserved to be MVP. But
game came down at the end to every X's and O's reason why people said the Rams were going to win. They were going to win in the trenches, the mismatch in the trenches. For 3.5 quarters, there was no real mismatch in the trenches as much as they're anticipated have been. But at the end, Aaron Donald came through, and that's really where the Rams won, is at the end of the game on the line of scrimmage. He did make two of the biggest plays of the game. The reason that I look in Aaron Donald's stats, one of his stats, the one sack,
the
pushing
sack
Burrow out of bounds,
ridiculous.
That's not a sack. But I think Kupp, rightfully so, was the MVP. It was kind of a little bit of a tallest midget type deal with this year's MVP.
But I do feel like it came from a place of, like, 5 years ago, Stafford probably wins it. Now that we try very hard to, like, find new faces and new places. I love that Kupp got it because I think it caps off what is probably the best wide receiver season ever, which is insane to say. I mean, combine his playoffs with his regular season and you won't see anything as dominant. It was quite spectacular. We already covered the Burrow is trash. We covered the refs, Kupp. Halftime show was amazing. Too short. I need another song out of all of them.
It was 15 minutes long.
I know, but we got like one Eminem. We only got like one from Mary J. Blige, who I thought killed it.
Snoop and Dre just dominated.
Yeah, of
Snoop crip walking across the stage. Kendrick's part was dope, even though he's been MIA for years. I could have seen Kendrick getting one more song, but overall, the halftime show was unbelievable. You got 50 Cent coming in out of nowhere, who's reenacting his music video for In the Club. And it was, like, a lot of people didn't even know that, but that's him hanging upside down is what he did in the music video. The halftime show is someone who, when the artists were released, I was like, I don't want to watch that shit in 2022.
Really?
Like, I was not excited up until like the game. And I was like, okay, you know what? They're all Cali people, LA. This could be dope. The set was sick. The way they used the stage, it was better than the Weeknd last year, who just didn't really do anything.
Terrible.
The NFL crushed it with this halftime show for sure.
Yeah. Another example of why the Super Bowl should be in LA, besides the amount of celebrities from Shaq, LeBron, I could go literally on and on. Between every commercial break, they just showed another celebrity who was bigger than the next. I saw Justin Bieber, Drake, and those five, and like Eminem might have been the seventh biggest performer I saw in a 48-hour period. That's like, I would be a genuine fan of them doing it there every couple years because it's so much better. But we got Arizona next year and Vegas the year after.
And I think that's a
bad
that.
Idea. What is?
And New Orleans the year after that.
New Orleans, that's run it back, Ravens style. But Vegas, it's going to be dangerous. Like, we've already seen what the athletes have been getting into. And Vegas Super Bowl week will just be, I'm nervous.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like, when might the Eagles make the Super Bowl next year? I think I'm going to like try and put something out there. It's in Vegas next year. No, it's in Phoenix
Arizona,
next year.
Yeah.
In 2 years. When the Eagles make the Super Bowl in 2 years, might not next year. I think you got to like just mandate, okay, team stays here till Saturday.
Yeah.
Team stays in their home city till
I would
Saturday.
Say the players are actually normally on their best behavior. I would say that. But Wednesday night, like, Jalen Ramsey was at the club. Just at
That's
the club.
Sick.
Like,
and then he gives up a career high in yards
right.
on Sunday.
Like, any correlation here, maybe? Jamar Chase is absolutely sick. I've mentioned Mary J. Blige. We haven't mentioned the national anthem because she killed it. Not only did she kill it, but everyone's richer thanks to Abe and a little creme brulee.
Just a little creme brulee, baby. Quickie Mickey, huh? They called her. Listen, this line was crazy. This line jumped, opened at a minute, came down to 93 seconds, which would have been the shortest one since Kelly Clarkson in 2012. Things leaked, apparently. It jumped all the way up back to, I think, 109, anywhere between 109 and 111. And I'm hearing different things. She's holding out the Brave note for a long time. And I went against my gut. My gut originally told me the under. But sometimes you have to rethink and reevaluate and swallow some pride and just go with the right answer. Now, when she started singing, I thought I was screwed. That thing was, she started quick.
She came out hot.
Towards the end, she slowed it down. She was dragging out notes, and then it was like a 10.3-second Brave or something. If you followed me on Twitter, you would know that's the pick that I gave out. If you listened to the pod, you would know creme brulee meant the over. Even though I looked back at my Twitter and I realized that it was just a dead giveaway that creme brulee meant the over.
Why?
Because I think I tweeted creme brulee on anything under 109.
Mm.
So it's just like, obviously he's taking the over.
Mm-hmm.
But.
I mean, it's
like if it was like 70 and I'm saying.
It's kind of confusing. I'm not going to lie.
Well, the people got it because they listened to the podcast. And that's all I cared about.
Hopefully they did. And that cash.
I think she clocked in at like 111 and I got it at 109 and a half.
I thought it was like it was like 151. Oh, 111 seconds.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah. 1 minute and 11 seconds, Jack? Jesus, she's quick.
Well, you said
quick.
It came down towards a minute earlier and then you said 90 seconds and yeah, it just got confusing. You flip between like minutes and seconds.
Bottom line is I was 0-3 in the past years, and now I'm the hottest anthem better in the country.
There we go. As for me,
see you next year.
I'm not necessarily coined the Gatorade predictor. I'm the Gatorade boy because I capture that content in 2020. It went blue back to back. And I think sometimes, like you were saying, we overthink these things. And why
it's a taste
wouldn't...
thing. It's just taste.
I don't think it's a taste thing, though. I think the Rams have blue Gatorade. They're blue. And I went secondary color to then match with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase for LSU, and it's close to orange. Just doing too much, you know. Mm-hmm. And so next year, I hope...
Less is more, Jackson.
I hope we really get back into the film room and think about, okay, the Ravens are purple. It's probably going to be purple.
If you really wanted to be the Gatorade guy, you would watch the all 22 weeks 1 through 17 and just zoom in on the Gatorades each week and just write down the trends of each team.
Yeah,
what their what the team preferences are. But you know what's bullshit? Win or lose, both teams should be required to dump their Gatorade. Like, you should have the people deserve to know if the Bengals won what the Gatorade would have been.
But there's also speculation that each cooler is different, so it depends what cooler is actually closer.
You got to pick one. You got to pick one. But like each team should have to disclose their Gatorade colors at the end of the game.
Last thing on the Super Bowl and really the NFL season, that Matt Stafford throw, the no-looker, I mean, that's the greatest.
Yeah, I didn't see that until on Twitter the next day that it was a no, that it was a no-look.
Yeah, so it was my buddy that actually filmed it, and he didn't realize that he had the footage till the next day, and he hit him up. He hit up the NFL. He was like, I've got this dope clip. And they were like, all right, let's post it. And 10 million plus views later, I mean, that is impressive. And so that's another reason why I thought he could have won Super Bowl MVP. I just thought he, you know, he was the most valuable player. And I think sometimes you take into account their whole postseason. Cup was great, obviously, too. But he was putting it together, Matt Stafford. So big shout out to him. Big shout out to the Rams.
What about freaking OBJ, dude? Everyone's Odell just like kind of forgets that he tore his ACL again. Guy's going to be a free agent this year. Just had a rejuvenation in LA. And now who's going to try and give him? Nobody's going to give him a big contract. If he played out that game, he might not be ready for Hetzel halfway through next year. And that's his second torn ACL.
Yeah, I'm more bullish because, look, you're the doctor.
I mean, I love the guy.
Yeah, you're the doctor, but I'll say modern medicine has made great strides even the past few years.
Cam Akers was on the three-week IR for the Achilles.
Right. I mean, it was like he stubbed his toe. So I am a huge believer that Odell will be back. Now, mentally, that's taxing, to rehab an injury and then eventually get back to your peak form and then hurt it again, go through that process, lose out on a huge contract. He'll probably have to play on a one-year deal, but I don't see a downside to fitting in L.A. on a one-year. He joins in November. Philadelphia.
They're getting Robert Woods back, maybe.
That's what I'm saying, though. If he's wide receiver 3, Van Jay's 4, and then he uses that to kind of push forward, I think that's a good option for him. So I have no doubt Odell will be fine, but he was spectacular. And really what we should be talking about is, how the fuck do you moonwalk in cleats? I still don't understand how that's possible.
I don't think it's as hard as you think it is.
How?
It's not like you're not sticking it into the turf. You're grazing it, like, on the grass.
But how does you know cleats are, like, hard.
I mean, clearly he wasn't wearing great cleats.
No, that's a turf thing. That's a turf thing. Not as
cleats. Yeah, NFL players hate turf.
Hate turf. It hurts. It's bad for the ligaments. And
what's the logic behind having it? It looks nicer.
It's way cheaper.
Easier to...
Yeah, they don't have to tend to it. You know, it costs millions of dollars. You know, those owners worth billions.
Grass costs millions. My ass.
It does.
It's fucking grass, dude.
You gotta water that, John. You gotta paint it. You gotta fertilize. You gotta cut it.
What do you know about landscaping?
I actually, my senior project, I did a landscaping thing at a golf course for a day. So what do I know?
For a day?
I know just about that.
for a day?
Yeah, for a day.
I am actually a plant father. We have 3 very large plants in my apartment.
And their names are?
One of them's name is JPP because one of his leaves broke off. One of them's name is Alfonso. The other's name is Pepe.
Okay.
Alfonso, JPP, and Pepe.
Yeah.
Well, your plants real? Do you water them every Saturday?
No, fake.
Do you turn?
You have real plants?
Real plants that have grown big as shit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm a whole ass dad.
You're a whole
Me
ass
and Van dad. Jefferson.
You and Van Jefferson. All right. Well, that is the NFL season. Last thing before we take a break, Abe, 260 days out. Who's our, or sorry, rather, 360 days out.
Chiefs.
You're going back to the Chiefs. You don't quit on them.
No. They have Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. All right.
Who are you picking?
I'm telling you. The year. The year.
You're going back to the Ravens. You don't quit on them.
I don't.
So we're aligned.
Yeah, we're aligned. All right. We're going to take a quick break. After the break, it's probably the moment you've been waiting for. Not you, Abe, the audience, because James Harden is a Philadelphia 76er. And
One more time. Say it one more time.
Ben Simmons is no longer. We'll be right back.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
This episode is brought to you by Bai. It's Wonderwater. What makes Bai so great? It's simple. From Raspberry Lemon Lime by Sydney Sweeney to Zambia Bing Cherry and Palavo Pineapple Mango, Bai has antioxidants, electrolytes, and no artificial sweeteners. So for flavorful hydration, choose Bai. It's Wonderwater. Learn more about Bai and discover all of the exotic, bold flavors at drinkbai.com.
All right, fam, we are back. Let's talk about the Lakers first, Abe. What do you say?
The who?
James Harden is a 76er. Good thing that Abe said no matter what happens, the Sixers are not contenders this year.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you
no,
did.
No, I didn't. Yes, I said did. That with the yeah. roster that they had.
No.
I mean, if you could try to hold me to that all you want, but I'll be preaching it's finals or bust. It's championship or bust.
Okay. Well, it's going to be bust. I'll be preaching that as well.
I just don't know how you can say that, first off.
How? I
holy shit. Let me take you through my – last week I was on Twitter for 26 hours a day. I turned off my screen time on Friday, so I didn't get a notification on Sunday. Jack stirring the pot with the Philly media, talking out of his ass.
How am I stirring the pot?
Windhorse is telling me we're in the deal zone. Woj is washed as fuck. He is washed. Woj is telling me they're not talking. Comes down. Jack, just as you predicted, this thing was coming down to the wire.
Mm-hmm.
It finally happens. I get blown up on my phone. I can't even think straight. I'm at lunch with my boss, eating kava, like not being able to talk. Like I was just like, what's wrong? And I was like, nothing. Nothing is wrong. We did it. We fucking did it. And I was at the game last night against Boston where we lost by 50. Harden's first game as on the bench. He didn't play. He rings the bell. It doesn't seem real to me. It really doesn't. The fact that James Harden is a Sixer. Like the photo, it still looks like Photoshops. And I don't think I'll ever wrap my head around it. He's not playing until after the All-Star break. But once he does, how do you stop him and Embiid together? How do you?
Pick a tendon.
Oh, don't go that. Don't go that way.
I don't know.
Other than injury, how do you stop them?
Their head coach?
You don't.
Their head coach?
You don't. One of the biggest flaws of the Sixers this year is when teams play zone against them like it's in fucking middle school. How do you play zone against James Harden and Joel Embiid? I would argue that Joel Embiid, not in the same stratosphere, so don't get it twisted. But when it comes to gravity of an NBA player and drawing defenders and attracting gravity, it's Steph and then it's Embiid. And I just don't know how you double.
Giannis.
Yeah, what? The people back away from him when he's at the three-point line.
Yeah, the three-point line. People aren't guarding Joel and like he's Steph at the three-point line, but the second Giannis enters the paint, it's a five-man collapse.
I would say Embiid more, but to each their own. you keep Matisse, you keep Maxey,
And now it's go time, baby. Just as James said, it's, I can't believe this is happening to me.
You know, it's pretty funny that I'm just kind of realizing when you say it like that, obviously keeping Maxi and Matisse is incredible long term. And I think they're, you know, interesting pieces here. But Seth Curry is probably a better spacer for what you guys are trying to do in this.
Yes. But the way that Tyrese Maxey's shooting the ball from three this year, it's kind of irrelevant. And now you have James Harden on the Sixers. Let's take this off me.
Like a historically just coming up losing franchise with a losing coach with two losing players. Like, how do you factor that in?
I don't think it's fair, really, to call Joel a losing player.
I mean, he's never been to a conference finals.
Yeah, because his loser teammate just left. All right, outside looking in. Forget what everything I just said, because obviously it's Larry O'Brien or bust. Genuinely, you're talking not to Abe Granoff, you're talking to somebody on the street. And they ask for an outlook of the Eastern Conference Finals. Rank, give me percentages of each team coming out of the East as of today. Miami?
Zero.
Sorry, I'm not including Chicago for obvious reasons. Milwaukee?
50%.
Philadelphia? Brooklyn?
There's no one else?
Cleveland?
Cleveland. All right. If I had to give my honest, like where I would set my odds at, I would say Miami 10%, Chicago 5%, Cleveland 2%, Bucks 50%.
You're at 67% right now.
Okay. And then, so that leaves like 33% between you two?
Brooklyn and Philly.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of question marks with Brooklyn, obviously. More answers with Philly, but you have to factor that in. I'd say you guys are probably about even in my head right now.
What do you think basketball-wise? Don't say injuries. Don't say Doc Rivers. Say what do the Sixers don't have? What don't the Sixers have?
I think their defense obviously takes a step back there.
Why?
Like, in theory, if Ben's – like, because you guys
– we traded a player that's not on our team for James Harden.
Correct. But, okay, so –
and two of the most barbecue chicken defenders that the league knows in Seth Curry and Andre Drummond.
That's correct. But then you have to counter – you have to factor in, like, okay, now you kept Matisse and he's going to play, but do you not need him on offense, right? And then you're playing 4-5 on offense, which it could be enough with Maxey and Tobias and the other two. But – that's a thing, but Maxey and Harden are a bad defensive backcourt. I don't think that's a good defensive backcourt.
Maxey's not horrible.
I'm not saying he's horrible, but overall, like, that is not, that's a bad defensive backcourt.
Yeah, but Matisse usually guards the best player on the floor anyway.
But do you visualize that being the five in the playoffs? Like, you think Matisse is in closing lineups?
I think Matisse is in closing lineups over Danny Green. One, because fuck Danny Green. Two, because we need him on the defensive end, and when it comes down to late game in the playoffs, it's going to be James and Joel two-man ball. So the offense, like, you're not running sets
We'll see. It's going to be interesting. Look, on paper, if it was a game of two-on-two, that would be a nasty two-on-two, right? But there's way more pieces involved, and now you have taken an absolute knockdown shooter out and replace him with a good three-point shooter who's more of a ball handler. And you've got to count on Tobias Harris.
I've never watched a Philadelphia Sixer that could dribble the ball and shoot the ball together. Yeah. Tyrese Maxey a little bit this year. I've never had that
Allen
before.
Allen Iverson?
He couldn't really shoot the ball like a knockdown jump shot. He was good in the mid-range, but
I mean,
like, he wasn't
Harden, like, isn't technically a knockdown shooter this year.
This year, but he was also playing his way out of Brooklyn.
When was the last time he wasn't playing his way out of anything, though? He's a diva. He got Russ off the team. He got Chris Paul off the team.
Hey, man, you heard him. Philadelphia was his first choice. He had to get there one way or another.
Was his first choice. Look, it upgrades the team from not having a player on the court. I totally agree.
Last night when I'm at the game and we lose by 50 It was like the middle of the third quarter. I think we're down 38. The crowd was pretty silent. It was one of the times where the music was stopped playing. It was like an offensive possession. And all of a sudden you hear somebody from the second level scream, "James, I swear, we're not this ass." Like, don't ask out. Don't ask out. Don't ask out.
Yeah. I think for Brooklyn now, they get better if Ben's going to play. Like, Harden's probably a better basketball player, but system-wise...
probably?
He's definitely a better basketball player. But in that, on that team, we have agreed. Like, James Harden didn't really do much for them. Like, defensively, they had a playmaker in Kyrie. He was almost used as, like, a non-scorer. And I think he's at his best when he is scoring and when the ball is in his hands all the time. And I anticipate that will be the case in Philly. So I think Brooklyn gets better. I like the Seth pickup for them. The Drummond thing doesn't really do much for me. I still think they'll be tough to defend Joel and Giannis when it comes to it. I think it's a similar situation to last year, to be honest, is like whoever hopefully doesn't get that matchup, which is out of you three, like, that's the team that's going to have the best chance to
advance. I mean, let's not talk about Brooklyn like they're a lot. Like, they're three games out of being locked into a playoff spot right now. With KD, no timetable return. Ben 10, which is the dumbest fucking nickname I've ever heard. Nowhere to be playing yet. Even if he does play, that's bad news for them. And Kyrie, who knows what's going on with this mandate thing and anything. Brooklyn could be playing in a... Brooklyn might not make the playoffs.
They're going to make the playoffs.
Can I get some odds?
You can at your favorite sports book, wherever it is. You can easily get odds, and they will be
from you.
From me, for Brooklyn not to make the playoffs? I don't even know what the odds are. Like, that's to win their play-in games?
Well, no. I mean, they could jump up. They could make a run at it and not play in the play-in game. As of right now, they're three games deep in the play-in. Yeah. Let's see if I can find... playoff.
Who's even in the play-in? They're gonna lose to the Raptors. They're gonna lose to who? Are they gonna lose to?
Yeah, man, it's an oblong ball.
No, it's not. It's actually a round.
Toronto, Charlotte, Toronto, Brooklyn, Charlotte, and Atlanta with the Knicks. Jack, if the Knicks play Brooklyn in a play-in game, I know you guys probably won't make it because holy shit, are you bad? I will have my chest painted in Barclays with you. I mean, it'll be a home game for the Knicks in Barclays.
It would be unbelievable. We'll lose, but it would be unbelievable.
I don't know.
We're
you want to talk about unbelievable. Jack, when the trade went down, what did you buy?
I mean, can I get some credit? That is like, while everyone else is on Twitter, oh my God, jersey swap this. Your boy is on the toilet and is like, you know what? Tick pick. Friends of the podcast, friends of the brand. I'm a hop on and buy two front row, not courtside, front row, middle section seats for $2,500 total. A singular seat, Abe, goes for $3,500. So $2,500 into $7,000. I can sell right now, make $4,000 in profit. Never think about Ben Simmons again. But Ben says he hopes to play, which means the hype.
Zero. I'm not going to do a whole 0-0-0, but I watched his press conference interview yesterday. He's the same fucking person.
I agree, but I don't think...
the same answers.
When you reacted like to what he said, I disagree. I think it actually was a little more positive than you made it seem. Here's the situation, though. Conditioning can only go on for so long, right? And so the deadline, or rather, the All-Star break is through the 22nd, which gives us... about 2.5 more weeks for Ben to get into shape. He would have to avoid playing for probably like 10 games to say he couldn't play in Philly. And you saw James Harden on the bench.
That's not what I'm saying is going to happen.
Ben's already... wait, is Ben going to be at the game tonight? He is.
Yeah, he'll be there.
Dude, get me my jersey. I would have rocked that.
Jack, I'm not saying his conditioning won't ramp up. He could play tonight. He won't play in Philadelphia.
Play or be in the building. That's the thing. If he's on the bench, I'm there. If he's on the bench, I'm there. Like, it is irrelevant if he plays or not.
No, he'll probably stay in Brooklyn to get his knee drained or some bullshit like
that. That's the thing is, I don't see, because it's conditioning right now, he would have to fake a COVID test, which he already did try that once. So I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibilities, but that's where I'm like, the timing actually fits to where if he steps on the court, which, as you just said, they actually do need him. Like, with Kyrie's status and Durant's status to stay in the hunt, they need Ben to play. He has to play before March 10th. And if he does, he can't avoid that. And maybe he is in a better place mentally. Like, it is understandable, and I think it's a good time to discuss this too now. Like, do people understand that removing yourself from the most toxic situation in your entire life could...
How? It was toxic because of fucking him!
It was toxic because of him, dude, sure. Because his play was bad, but Abe...
The narrative that has switched on this fucking guy in the last week is driving me insane. Who are the ones that were retweeting fucking summer workout videos of Ben Simmons in the corner, hyping him up that he's going to be shooting year in, year out,
and
every single year?
And he was
the Sixers fans were. Who were the fans that were trying to teach him how to shoot a free throw in the middle of a playoff game that were cheering for him? Like.
But where did it get to? But think about where it got to.
It got to him being a bitch.
Right.
Saying it was, and then he goes back on his word saying it was nothing about anybody that said after the series in Atlanta. Just stop lying. Stop lying. Just say, I didn't want to be there. Don't attribute it to anything else.
Well, it could be attributed to
that. But the fact that Philly fans drove Ben into this mental health spot and
Abe, I completely.
If it is mental health, which I'm not saying it's not. I would never do that. It's something personal. It is not Philly fans. That is just being a bitch. That's not mental health.
I disagree. I don't think that people understand the toll of an entire city, millions of people hating you, talking shit on you, can do to your mental health.
The same exact city that was sucking him off for 3 years. If he just does one, if he just practices and improves and
that's
tries,
fine. You can,
we're
you can
right
say,
there by his side.
You the can Sixers, say the criticism
we were booing
is fair.
Last night. They were booing the Sixers last night with James Harden on the bench. Are you going to try and drive him out of the city by fucking booing this team? No, the city will ride. That's what Philadelphia does.
But that's the point, is he was playing, maybe not up to the standards, and maybe it was his fault that he didn't practice free throws and he didn't dunk on Trae Young, but there was an actual turn to where the local news is making jokes about who he is as a human.
He did that.
How?
Oh, and then you have ESPN tweeting, everyone, ESPN, the big M, saying how Philly fans drove him out. And then a clip from the ESPYs comes out last year of ESPN Network making a joke that he's building houses in Africa with all of his bricks that he's throwing up in the fourth quarter. Like, stop twisting this narrative. The guy just couldn't handle it. And Philadelphia is a city that would ride or die with you. People got on Joel. Joel was booed. Joel talked shit back to the fans. Joel got in the gym and improved, which Ben never did.
That's
all
fine.
He's the same exact player as when he entered the league.
I am fine with saying it is Ben's fault for not improving and getting the criticism. That's normal.
There's no fault that should be placed on 76er fans in the city of Philadelphia.
I'm not even saying it's the Sixers fans' fault. But I am saying there is absolutely a scenario where there's correlation between the entire city turning on him and speaking about him.
Once he asked out.
Huh? Sure.
Once he said, I'm out.
But there is, that's fine, but that could easily lead to a mental health crisis.
Right, that could lead. But he was saying the mental health stuff started before last season, before the Atlanta series. That's what he said in the press conference yesterday.
And there's when the different Sixers levels of it.
When the Sixers weren't made aware of any mental health stuff until October, when there's the season had already
levels.
Started in training camp. That's when the mental health stuff came to them, because Rich Paul figured, oh, we could win our money back in arbitration.
Very gray area thing. The consistency, I totally agree, is all over the place. The timeline makes no sense. There's speculation from all sides. At the end of the day, my point is there is a world where Sixers fans being dickheads drives him into depression. Like, I don't think that's a crazy concept to grasp. Whether or not he deserves the criticism, whether or not he couldn't take it, whether or not all these different things, that's really my whole point with this. So I'm saying now he is saying he wants to play. So does
do it.
So does returning to a place like that trigger PTSD? Literal PTSD. Could he have post-traumatic stress disorder from...
Forget PTSD, Jack. He might be physically harmed. Like, they might have to play that game in glass. You're talking about wearing a Ben Simmons jersey to the Wells Fargo on March 10th.
Think about that, though. You want to talk about the city of Philadelphia didn't have anything to do with the mental health, and he has to consciously be like, is someone going to bring a gun and shoot at me? Because that's rational. That's so rational. But that's my point. Philly fans are out of their minds. All the blame does not go on them, absolutely. And some blame probably goes on Ben.
Because you remember the conversation we had about trading Ben Simmons for Jeremy Grant and Cade Cunningham?
Yeah.
You remember the conversations we had about trading Ben Simmons for CJ McCollum and a pack of oatmeal? You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And what did I say? The waiting game is the right thing to do. I stood by Daryl the entire time, and it fucking worked. Daryl is a genius and played these cards so right.
Maybe.
This is the absolute... Jack, if I told you after that Atlanta series and Ben asked out and people were talking about trading him that we're getting James Harden for Ben Simmons, you would have said, I'm nuts.
On a bad hammy, James Harden? Diva James Harden?
That hammy is fine, dude.
Is it?
That hammy is fine. He looked skinny last night, too.
No, he didn't. In that ugly-ass fit he was wearing?
That shit was
How could you even tell if he looked skinny? He looked ridiculous.
That was fire.
Anyways, what would you put the Sixers' chances at winning the title at?
Just trying to win the next game.
Okay.
Just trying to win the next
game. We're doing that? You're turning into Ben Simmons? You're just giving a press conference as fucking answer?
Just focus on the guys in this locker room and winning the next one.
Should we talk about the Lakers for a second? They're 30-1 to win the title. They've got Anthony Davis.
I mean, if you want to talk about the Lakers, then can we please talk about the Washington Wizards too? Because they have the same amount of wins.
Do either team have a chance at the title?
I'm pretty sick in the head for thinking the Lakers do. Or that Porzingis could really rejuvenate this Wizards team. do the Lakers have a chance at the title? I can't say no. If they can get in, I can't say no. A healthy LeBron and AD, like if LeBron goes 2018 Cleveland LeBron in the playoffs. In the playoffs, I'm saying. Like in a 7-game. The reason that I say that the Lakers can get to the finals, the Suns are really good. The Warriors are good. Memphis, Utah, Dallas, and Denver do nothing to me.
I'm kind of in on Memphis. Not like actual contenders, but like they're legit. I'll give them like the legit tag. Like they're a very good basketball team.
So they're cuties.
Yeah, they're cuties. My feeling on the Lakers is this. I thought there was an opportunity at the deadline to make moves that didn't have to involve cutting Russell Westbrook out of the equation and giving up all your picks. I thought there were moves to be made. I went to a Lakers game on Tuesday night, right before the deadline, actually. They played Milwaukee. AD, LeBron, Russ, actually, even, is not the problem. They have incompetent basketball players. Like, their supporting cast is garbage. I can't even describe how porous that team is. Like it's a revolving door of Stanley Johnson, Austin Reeves, Avery Bradley couldn't guard you, Abe. They've got Malik Monk who they're relying on to pour in 20 a night. Dwight Howard is taunting on the sideline. I don't think he's played in a week. They've got DeAndre Jordan. Like, they have actually the worst set of backups ever. And so when we say, like, put anyone around those three, they tried doing that, and it just failed miserably. So I'm not going to 0.0 it because I do think there's a situation where Russ plays well, finds his role, AD doesn't shoot 17% from three, and LeBron does what he does in the playoffs, where they can beat some teams, and if the draw falls the right way. But I will say, I don't think they win a title. I do not think they win a title. I think they could get there because the West could.
Yeah, they have nobody who can defend Joel and James. I agree.
Yes, exactly. So Lakers might be dead. Knicks are deader than dead. I mean, just the worst roster construction ever. Everyone sucks. Tibbs is going to get fired after winning Coach of the Year. The GM needs to be fired. Everyone needs to be done. No one cares. Randall is back to playing like last year, and it doesn't matter. We go up 15 on every team, and
we're talking
moves
about the Knicks for a little too long.
Yeah,
it's they're just 25 and 33.
Yeah, just really, really poor. So
you have to have 26 wins for us to talk about you on this podcast.
All right, maybe Monday's episode we'll talk.
All right.
Oh, All-Star, we didn't even get a whole preview on All-Star. Pick some winners. Dunk contest.
I'll go Jalen Green.
That's the only person I know in it. Skills challenge is like a team. I'll go the Antetokounmpo's.
I don't know the skills. Three points. I'm going to take one of the Currys. I think that's a good bet.
Yeah, that's probably a safe bet. I'll go with the other Curry who you're not going
to. Dunk contest is Cole Anthony, Obi, Jalen Green.
Oh, Obi.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Obi can jump. I know
Obi
that.
Obi can jump.
And then Team LeBron is 10 times better than Team Durant. And that was one of the funniest pieces of content we've seen in a long time.
The best television that there ever was. Having Durant pick between Rudy Gobert and James Harden was just unbelievable.
It was gold. So shout out to them for that. Eagleson, most importantly, get in here, brother.
Brother?
Hey, brother.
Oh,
how's it
Cole
feel?
Cole Anthony, Obi Toppin, Jalen Green, and Juan Toscano-Henderson.
I didn't realize he was a dunker, but all right. More importantly, Abe, number 18, Andrew Eagleson. How's it feel?
I feel much older, much more mature. I feel like an adult now, naturally.
You can get arrested now.
Yeah, that's honestly, like, that seems like all it's good for. Like, I can just actually get in trouble now.
Well, the good thing about turning 18 in America is you can have a bank account. Canada, though,
I didn't even know that
you can't have a bank account before you're 18.
Probably not on your own name. Maybe.
I guess you could. Yeah.
What about these? You're telling me these 16-year-old TikTok millionaires don't have a bank account?
I think their parents have to sign off on it, maybe.
Oh, I saw this on TikTok. Wait, do you guys not have, like, Tap? Like, you pay for stuff, like...
We do.
Okay. People on TikTok were lying. I saw that.
Do you guys not have the ability to have your own money without your government seizing it?
No.
Because we do. You don't.
They take it all, actually.
Abe, did you hear about this?
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. Canada announced that now the government can, without a court order, seize any funds in a bank account without warning.
So you're telling me you're paying for the government's parlays? That's a reason in itself to run for office.
Yeah, sounds fire. How has the reaction been, Eagleson? Like, are you going to come down here pretty soon or what?
Like, I'm thinking about it. This place has been a disaster lately, especially, like, right in Ottawa, which is just a few minutes from where I live. It's a complete mess. You can't move around downtown at all. All, like, the trucker guys have been there, and it's a complete mess. The government.
Yeah, explain to Abe and the majority of our audience who probably has no clue what's going on in Canada.
Yeah, so basically, like, I mean, it's a pretty long story, but a lot of Canadians, mostly truckers, have been occupying downtown Ottawa, which is the capital of Canada, just basically protesting. They won't move from the streets. No one can get anywhere until they remove mandates. Basically, vaccine mandates is where it started, and now it's gone to the passport and all that. And they've just been there. It's been gridlocked completely. Like, ambulances can't get through. It's been kind of a shit show. And the bank account thing that started because people obviously have to donate because these truckers need gas and things like that. So they shut down, like, GoFundMe. They were supplying them with a lot of money, so they shut that down. And then now they're going after, like, they're seizing bank accounts that are involved with that at all.
Shit's crazy.
Trouble in paradise.
Yeah, shit
not
is
paradise.
Crazy.
And then it's also like -30 at the same time while all this is happening. So
Wait, minus 30, and that's in fucking Celsius?
Yes.
Hold on. That's not possible. No. Quebec.
That's not possible.
Weather.
It's possible. It was minus 30 last weekend, I think.
Dude, stop bitching. It's 23 degrees.
Oh, my God.
Maybe right now, but it's been minus 30, minus 20.
No. But in American, it's 23 degrees.
Minus 30 is 23. Okay, I don't know. Yeah.
I think. Yeah,
I don't expect, really. Quebec's expected cold, to so. Get. Quebec is expected to get 15 to 30 centimeters of snow Thursday evening.
Yeah,
Thursday
we're supposed night. To get a lot of snow, actually, for Friday, they said. It's
15 to 30 centimeters, actually.
So sounds like things are up. Should be a fun birthday. Any plans?
I mean, like, there's not been much to do. You can't even go into the city for dinner. It's all, like, gridlocked. There's still stuff closed because of COVID. They've been slowly getting away from some of that stuff. But, like, there's not a whole lot going on. There's not much to do.
So this is the shittiest birthday ever?
Close second to last year's, maybe. Which was the same shit.
They're in the
middle. Still locked down. So,
it's pretty crazy you're international right now.
Like, we're talking over the borders.
Yeah.
Is that even legal?
Right now? Probably not for me. They might seize our airwaves.
They can come from my bank account. There's not much.
Kick down my door any second.
It's crazy. All right, what about in the Dolphins world? You got your coach?
I don't think we talked about that. McDaniel is bringing us to the promised land. Did you guys?
Wild card weekend?
Yes, wild card weekend.
No, wild card weekend isn't the promised land for
them.
No, week 18 win and you're in?
I mean, I'd like to have it clinched before then. McDaniel seems like the guy. But yeah, I'm not sure if you guys saw any of his press conferences or anything that he did, but... Like, I don't know if you can fix Tua, but like, he can talk. He definitely gives a good interview. Like, the staff that he assembled, I think it's fully done now. It just made sense. He's bringing in experienced guys that, it seems like he wants to rely heavily on the run. Like, that was kind of the OC hire. And the
That's
running
smart, coach. Given that the league is just all about passing now because it's so much more efficient. He should hire McVay to be his OC. McVay is obsessed with the run, and he said he doesn't really want to coach anymore, so maybe he could convince him, come down to Miami, no COVID laws down there, no one's taking your money.
If you can, I think the O-line is the most important part of football, so if they can build the O-line and run the ball, then everything else kind of falls into place, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If I was Devin Booker, I'd be dating Kendall Jenner.
Yes.
But I'm not, so I'm not.
I think it makes
sense. See what I'm saying?
But explain this to me. If you were close to being like Devin Booker, like you did have a good O-line and you did have a good run game, but like you were 5'10" and left-handed, you probably wouldn't be dating Kendall Jenner either. So tell me how like he fixes that whole problem.
I would never be 5'10", so I don't really
or
know.
Or left-handed.
I'm left-handed.
Oh. I'm sorry.
I mean, ooh, lefties are unique. Just six
special.
One in shoes.
You should play quarterback for the Dolphins.
Me?
Yeah.
I promise you I can do it just as good as Tua is.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think, I don't know, I want to believe
And if McDaniels really loves running the ball, I can hand it off.
I want to believe in it, and I don't necessarily.
You know what? That's great because Jack and I want you to believe in it.
Yeah, I'm all in for that. More importantly,
after
how are our Leafs?
Amazing. Ever since you've told me to be all in on them, and I have been. I've actually been watching them, and they've been on fire. Number one power play in the league. Marner's been on. He was on like a 7-game goal streak. I think he didn't score, but then he scored again last night. I think they beat the Kraken like 6-3. They've been on a tear. Like they've been amazing.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So when's the cup final? Or are they going to cancel the home games?
No, Ontario actually said that they're going to bring back some capacity. So.
Oh, you guys don't even have fans. I forgot.
Yeah, no fans right now. We've gone back to that. But they said they're going to bring fans back. So that could be nice. You guys want to come up here? Maybe watch a Leafs finals game?
No.
You still have to do the crate challenge here, Jack, don't you?
Yes, he does.
Might as well make it one trip.
Yeah, you can
I guess if I... If I could deliver the giveaway winner his stuff.
Oh, that's right. He's in London.
Visit you at college.
And you can't mail things there right now?
No, you can.
You can mail stuff.
Oh.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe they'll seize that shit, too. They see someone coming from the U.S. to Canada. They might take it.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But that's funny that the guy was in London, of all places.
Yeah. Well, please don't dox our giveaway winner. Eagleson, final thoughts on the big birthday. Any birthday wishes, requests, anything, let us know.
No requests. Just like, what should I do being an adult? Like, what's the first adult thing I should do? What did you guys do when you turned 18?
Drink already or no?
No.
What did I do when I turned 18?
What was the first thing you did?
Oh, I got my license. Nope, 17. I got my license.
Nah, people like get cigarettes. Definitely don't. Oh, buy a lotto ticket.
That's fun. That's what I should do. Buy a lotto ticket.
Can you can officially gamble?
I think I can. Wow.
Like,
I don't
on
know
your
how...
phone?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, there's always a million great sign-up offers, so make sure you take advantage of those.
Sign up on Underdog right now, actually.
I don't think Underdog's in Canada.
I have the app, and I've like looked on it for stuff before. Maybe it won't let me bet on it, but it let me download it. Like, it wouldn't let me download Buzzer.
I think you should get arrested.
For what?
Just a little little misdemeanor.
A little misty?
We don't have misdemeanors here. They're called something.
I would say this.
Go
have
spray
a beer.
Paint fuck the government on like a brick wall.
Yeah.
Go have a beer. Don't drive, but have a beer.
Maybe Leafs in four.
Get a place a bet down on your Leafs.
Yes.
And get a lotto scratch off and enjoy the night.
That sounds amazing.
Last night at the Sixers game, somebody asked me, I was getting a beer. I got a beer. And then someone came up to me like a security person when I was sitting down, asking me how old I was. And I genuinely froze. I was like,
yeah.
I actually dead ass said to him, 20, I'm older than 21.
You said that?
I should have, yeah, I said that to him because I like blanked. Because like, I feel like you should just be able to say, like, once you're in the US at least, once you're over 21, like before 30, you could just be like, I'm in between 21 and 30. Yeah. Every year is fucking irrelevant. I'm turning 26. 26, right? Yeah, 26 in 12 days.
Soon,
like,
right? Yeah.
12 days.
26 is ass.
Saquon Barkley year? Ugh.
Feel me?
I'm telling you, between 21 and 30, and then 30 is just like a realization, like, fuck, I'm actually old.
Right.
Like, I'm sitting in this chair right now, my back is killing me recording this podcast, and I'm 25 years old. I'm screwed.
Abe, final thoughts.
James Harden.
Abe, that's it. The fuck Ben Simmons was until you got rid of him.
There I told him. I said, if Ben plays March 10th, all is forgiven. I wish him the best.
Really?
As long as he plays March 10th, I will forgive him for it all. We can go. We can shake hands as cordial men and move on. As long as he plays March 10th.
That's huge.
Because that'll prove to me that he really isn't that big of a bitch coward that I think he is right in this moment.
Snapback fam, I'll see you in Cleveland. Have a great weekend. Much love. Peace.